make announcements a little bit later on. Brother Jim Bush, can you open us in prayer, brother?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this gathering tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here, Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, just give the preacher words to say, Lord, to us, Lord, that we might be edified, Lord, of thee, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord. And, Lord, we just praise God, Lord, that we can be here, Lord. And, Lord, just bless us here today, Lord. And, Lord, just let us go out of here rejoicing, Lord, that we heard your word, Lord. Learn from it, Lord, and tell others, Lord, and bring them in, Lord.
Yes.
And, Lord, we just thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right. For our first song, I'll ask you to stand. Turn with me to page 362. Page 362.
Thank you.
announcement I have that I'd like you to do if you could, for if you haven't. I got a card over here for Rudy McGowan. Again, like I said this morning, a friend of Jason's who lost his daughter this past week to a drug overdose. I got a card over here if you'd like to sign it. I'd like to try to get that to him this week. I believe everybody else is here that voted for the bylaws. I stopped by real quick before I came over here to church to see Brother Les and Miss Nancy for a moment. Just continue to keep them in prayer. I just ask you to just keep them in prayer, that God would just comfort them and keep them lifted up. And then also, again, I know it makes this announcement a lot, but if you're interested, Thursday from 6 to 7, again, we're going to try to hold up some signs here on Front Street and Pine Street, and just try to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, too, I forgot to mention as well, keep Brother Chris Mitchell in prayer as well. Lord willing, he was texting me last night and yesterday, today. He should be back, hopefully, August 12th. He's supposed to be shipping back a container August 10th from the death of his stepbrother out there in San Francisco. So keep him in prayer as he's continuing to try to pack that pot up and then get it shipped back over here. And then for his plane flight, Lord willing, I think August 12th as he tries to head back home. So just keep him in prayer. Amen.
Song we're going to sing is number 818, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Amen.
Love this song. It's a brand about what songs to pick tonight, and God put this on my heart because of His faithfulness to me. Leading music tonight is a show of His faithfulness. Anyone that doesn't deserve to be up here, it's me. And I'm definitely not qualified to lead music. I can't read a lick of music. But he has me up here.
Hey.
Even though I went astray, he was faithful through it. Just ask him to please stand and sing this last song with me. Think about his faithfulness to you.
Thank you.
moment is grace received. Marvelous grace, heaven's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, heaven's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins.
Take your Bibles this evening. We're going to continue on with our study in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, and Lord willing, this evening we're going to look at chapter number 3 here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, please stand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 this evening, if we get through all three verses. Here in the third chapter of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and verse number 1, Paul says this. He says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent to our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this evening. Thank you for the good singing, Lord. Thank you for the special, Lord. Thank you for marvelous grace, dear God. Thank you for your marvelous grace, Lord, that pardons us from sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for it this evening. Lord, help us never to forget it. Help us always to live in the light of it, and help us always to be faithful. And I ask that you just help us now this evening. This is the last service. Pray, give me the words to speak. Move me out of the way, Lord, that you would be glorified in all that's said and done, and that our eyes would be open, our ears would be open, Lord, to receive what you'd have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul continues on here in 1 Thessalonians. We've looked through the first two chapters, and there's kind of a theme that you see as you read through the epistles, a theme of Paul. One thing I believe about Paul, I believe Paul really had a love for the brethren. I believe the Apostle Paul, I believe he had a deep, deep love for the church of God and for the Christians that he came in contact with, the believers that came about from him preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the churches that he had care of, I believe it weighed heavily upon him, and even talks about it once in Corinthians, talking about that he has to even deal with the cares of the churches. Paul had a great love, I believe, for the brethren. And not only did he have a great love for them, but his great love extended to the extent that he desired for them to finish their course, to keep the faith, to fight a good fight, to not give up, to not fall astray to false teaching or false doctrine, but to be obedient to the gospel that was delivered unto them. And we find here in chapter number 3, proceeding, look back up into chapter 2 real quick. In verse number 17, he says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in present, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." You see, Paul, traveling around on his different missionary journeys, had a great desire to get back to this church here in Thessalonica to see him. And he tells him, though, "Listen, though I'm not there with you, I'm there with you in heart." Verse 18, "Wherefore, when we would come again unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." So as we enter in here to chapter 3, verse 1, we find Paul saying, "Wherefore, because I can't get to you, because we're being hindered by Satan, though I desire to be with you," as he says in chapter 2, verse 17, "but I can't get there because we're being hindered." He says, "Wherefore," in chapter 3, verse 1, because of those things there in chapter 2, "we could no longer forbear." So the Bible's saying here, Paul's saying, "Listen, I got to a point to where I had to do something. Satan's hindering us, all of us, to get over there to see you in Thessalonica." And he's saying, "Listen, I've got to do something to know of your faith." And so why is Paul showing such a desire, such an earnestness on trying to figure out and get to those in Thessalonica? We'll look at verse number 3. "That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know we are appointed thereunto." Paul knew that those there at Thessalonica and in many churches there in the New Testament time as the church began, a lot of those brethren suffered persecution and afflictions because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul was concerned about is if these afflictions come in, these persecutions come in, that some would start drifting away from where they initially stood with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's desiring to get back to them and to see how they are doing. He says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, but send Timotheus unto you." We see here in verse 1 that Paul has a great concern over the brethren and their spiritual condition. Take your Bible, hold your hand there, and look over at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 19. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Look what he says to the church here in Galatia. Chapter 4. And verse number 19. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 19, he says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under law, do you not hear the law?" You see a principle here in Galatians chapter 4 of almost exactly what's going on there in Thessalonica, except for the case in Galatia. There were some that came in and tried to bring in a division and try to draw brethren away because of circumcision. Basically, there was brothers and the Lord that came in and said, "Listen, unless you're circumcised, you can't be saved." And so Paul had a desire to get back there to deal with this false doctrine. And he says in Galatians 4:19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." He says, "For it is written," or tell me, "ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law?" Now, we're not going to look at what's contained here in Galatians, but you see the desire of Paul that he had for the churches and to make sure that they stayed straight doctrinally according to the Word of God. Take your Bible and look over at Romans chapter 8. So Paul was concerned with their spiritual condition. He desired to be there with them to help them grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is our spiritual condition this evening? What is our spiritual condition this evening? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Paul was concerned there in Thessalonica with the spiritual condition of the brethren there. And what Paul tells the church in Romans, he says, listen, if you live after the flesh, you're living carnally. And if you're living carnally, there's an opportunity for the enemy to get in to cause you to fall astray from your first love. What did Jesus consistently mostly say to the churches there in Revelation? He says, you've left your first love. Paul had such a desire for the brethren to make sure that they didn't leave their first love, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a desire and a concern that they would walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Not to be carnally minded, but to be spiritually minded. Because guess what spiritually mindedness gives you? Look at verse 6 in Romans chapter 8. What gives you? If you're spiritually minded, look what the Bible says you should have. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You say, "Brother Chris, I don't have peace tonight. I don't have peace." Well, are you spiritually minded? It's a good question tonight. Are you spiritually minded? If you say, "I lack peace," look, if there's any time in our life to where we lack peace, we're probably trying to figure out the situation in our flesh rather than by the Spirit. Because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's going to be plenty of times and situations in our life, and I'm sure that you've already faced, that there's times that God puts you through things that you don't understand why you're going through them. But this is one thing we got to recognize and we have got to acknowledge. God does not have to let us know. He's God. God doesn't have to explain why every situation and affliction and trial and temptation occurs in our life. He's God. But what God desires, as you go through those trials, as you go through those temptations, as you go through those afflictions, and you don't understand, what God's looking for you to do is to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. And I've been saying this a lot, but that's how you grow in your faith and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never grow if you always understand. You'll never grow, you'll never get where you need to be if God always explains to you every situation why he does it. Now, some of you have had children in here. And there's been times with my children, I've told them to go do something, and I did not explain to them why I was doing what I was doing. I just expected obedience. And sometimes that's what God expects of us. God doesn't expect us to understand. God doesn't expect us to know. God expects obedience. Even though you don't know, even though you don't understand, God wants obedience. He's the Creator. So God says, or the Lord says here through Paul, the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 6, he says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So back over, flip over real quick, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Our spiritual condition this evening. What is our spiritual condition this evening? Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Oh, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians, my bad, thank you. 1 Corinthians, I'm having you flip, I'm just giving you some Bible flipping time here. Just working out your fingers and your hands. See if you, look, you're paying attention, that's a blessing. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You're going to see the same type of thing. Look, you had Paul writing to the Romans, and he's talking about carnality, spiritually minded. Then he's talking here to another church in another area, the Corinthians. Look what he says in chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now look, this I'm telling you. If people, look, and I'm going to do a little rabbit trail here for 1 second. There's a lot of people that pull a lot of doctrine out of Corinthians as well as the book of Acts. Corinthians chapter 14 deals with tongues, okay? And it deals with spiritual gifts. It deals with, we deal with prophecy, we deal with miracles, we deal with signs, we deal with wonders, we deal with tongues. All these sign gifts. If you read through the book of Corinthians, that church was a mess. It was in such a mess that you had a man sleeping with his father's wife. Now imagine that in this congregation here, if a situation occurred like that, they'd be like, oh, right? You would think that's a pretty carnal church. If they're at that position doing those types of things, it's a pretty bad church. It's in a pretty bad state. Look what Paul says to him in the very beginning of his letter as he goes on through the letter. We're not going to read the whole letter. But look what he says in the very beginning. And he's dealing with them even in chapters 1 and chapters 2. Because one's saying, "I'm Apollos, I'm a Paul, I'm a Peter, I'm of this man, I'm that man." They were carnal. They were concerned about spiritual gifts, I think, in some senses, of to boast themselves up. Of look at me and look what God's given me. And Paul tells him here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren," he's telling him, he says, "Listen, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." He says in verse 2, "I had fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you," look, this is what's going on in the church, "for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Do you understand? It's like kind of what I was talking about this morning. Listen, the Lord uses us, but it's all about him. It's nothing about us. It is absolutely nothing about us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ working through us. If you hear an individual say, "Well, I'm of this college, or I'm of this church, or I'm of this preacher, or I'm you're carnal. You're carnal. "Well, I'm of this camp and I don't associate with that camp, and I'm of this clique and I don't associate with that clique and this." You're Corinthian. You're yet carnal. You're a babe in Christ, because that's exactly what the Corinthians were doing. "I'm of a Paul. I'm of Apollos. And Paul's saying, "Listen, we're nothing outside of God. It's God that gives the increase. It's God that helps us to do what we're doing. And we're laborers together with him." Look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God." Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let a man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. It's all about God. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. What is our spiritual condition this evening? Are we walking in carnality? Is there envying? Envying means this: feeling uneasy at the superior condition or happiness of another. Are we living in strife, exertion, or contention for superiority, opposition, contrariety, a contest? Contrary means to contradict or oppose, the opposite or adverse. Divisions, that which divides or separates. These are all things that Paul desired not to be the body of Jesus Christ. Because if the body is divided, if there's a schism in the body, if the body is separated from itself, it can't go forward in the strength and power that it can if it's when it's together. You understand? Now listen, there's just the fact that there's individuals out there who have lost both arms. There's individuals out there who have lost both legs. There's a man, Kyle Maynard, he has neither arms nor legs. He just has some stumps here and right here. He was born that way. I forget the condition that he had. But he was quite the man. He's still alive. He climbed one of the highest mountains in the world by crawling. He had no arms and no legs. He's only about this high. He goes around and does motivational speaking. But his life is a testimony of what can be done with what little he has. But you see this morning, this evening, is that we need one another. That is not the optimal state to be in, having no arms and legs. That's not how God created us. It's more beneficial to have arms and legs, to have eyes and ears and a mouth, to go forward in these bodies. And it's the same with a church. We need one another. We need to be together with one another. No divisions, no strife, no envying. And to try, if it does occur, to deal with it immediately and get it out of the way so that we can strive together as one body together for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now take your Bible real quick and look back over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Paul says here, he says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. You see, he desired for them to be established and comforted concerning their faith. So the word established means to be set, fixed, firmly founded. How established are you this evening in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? How established are you this evening? Are you tossed to and fro? Do you have trouble standing still and listening for the voice of the Lord God? Those are hard places to be in. Those are very hard places to be in, but I believe they're places that God desires for us to be. You see, what God desires for us is for us to get to the point to where we're so settled and established upon Him, the rock, that no matter what storm occurs in our life, we know He's got a purpose in it and we can trust Him through it. Take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 16, verse 21. Timothy was sent to help the brethren there at Thessalonica, but Timothy was a man that Paul could trust. He was a fellow laborer and he was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was sent to Thessalonica to try to establish and comfort them concerning their faith and the things that they were facing. Look at Romans chapter 16 and verse number 21. Paul says here at the latter part of this letter, he says, Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sopater, my kinsmen, salute you. Here Paul lists to the Roman church Timotheus as his work fellow. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 17. Look what Paul says again concerning Timotheus. 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul could trust Timothy. You see Paul sending Timothy to Thessalonica. Here you see Paul sending Timothy to the church there at Corinth. Here you hear about him talking about him to the letter he wrote to the Romans. Why? Timotheus was a faithful brother in the Lord. Look what it says. "For this cause I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Timothy was faithful, and Paul could trust him that he would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in truth. That he would put forth to the churches exactly as Paul would put forth the churches if Paul himself was there. Paul had a great trust in Timothy. Take your Bible and look at chapter 16. Same book of the Bible, Corinthians. Look at the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And look what he says in verses 10 and 11. Again, about Timotheus. He brings him up again. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at verse 10. He says, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I do, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." Paul asked the church there at Corinth, he says, "Listen, Timothy is coming unto you. See that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do." Paul could trust him because Paul knew that he would do the work of the Lord just as Paul did. And he asked the church there to not despise him, but to conduct him forth in peace, because Paul was desirous to hear what was going on there at Corinth. Take your Bible real quick and look at Philippians chapter 2. Timotheus is mentioned again to the church there at Philippi. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. I think this is it. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 14, Philippians 2:14. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." Brethren, here you have it in Romans, you have it in here in Corinthians, you have it here in Philippians. Listen, here in Thessalonica, in Thessalonians, Paul sending Timotheus forth. Timothy was quite the man. Timothy was quite the man. He was faithful. Paul could trust him. Paul knew that they were like-minded, and both of their vision was, what can they do to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Imagine what could be done for the Lord if we all had the mind of Timothy. You see, I'm almost done this evening, but I want you to leave with this thought. A pastor, or one brother or one sister in the Lord can't do it all. It can't be done. Look, I don't wake up every morning and expect my thumb to do all the work for the day. That sounds a little ridiculous. But I don't wake up in the morning and say, "Okay, thumb, you are going to do all the work today, and considering you're going to even help us walk today." No, I need my feet, I need my knees, I need my hips, I need my torso, I need my mind, I I need my arms. I need my eyes. I need my ears. I need my mouth. I need my whole body to go forth and do what I'm supposed to do for the day. And it's the same way in a church. The church is needed all together, a bodily, fitly joint together to work and put forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was like-minded, and Paul or Timothy was like-minded with Paul, and Paul makes this state in his case there to those at Philippi saying, listen, he's like my own son, I'm like his father, and he served me into the gospel. Receive what he has to say, because he's desiring for you to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew Timothy would provide what was needed for comfort and establishment. You see, when Paul couldn't be there, he knew that he could trust Timothy with the work that, even though Paul wasn't there, he knew that he could trust Timothy, so to speak, to get up behind the pulpit, to lead the singing, to preach, to do whatever. He knew he can trust him that though Paul was away, he knew that Timothy would get behind there and do exactly as if Paul was standing behind a pulpit. If Paul was leading the singing, if Paul was going out on a street corner, he knew that Timothy was like-minded, and it would be as if Paul was there with them because of Timothy. These things are important. Why do you say these things are important? Because we're not always going to be here. Do you see? We need to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, and then we need to help others grow in their most holy faith so that when we pass off the scene, someone can come by and pick up that torch and keep running with it. Do you understand? Do you see this principle with me here? Do you understand this principle with me here? That if I, look, God forbid if something should happen to me, there, hopefully, Lord willing, there'll be a man in here that could pick up that torch or come through and pick up that torch and keep going forward. You see, in the old times, in old battles, they would have a flag bearer. And all his job was to carry that flag in the battle. But that flag was so important that if he had gotten shot or wounded or injured and he dropped that flag, you would see men run up and try to grab that thing, to pick that thing back up again, to keep going forward with that standard. Why? Because that's what brought encouragement. That's what brought help to the soldiers who are out there fighting. Listen, our flag's still standing. Let's go forward and fight. It's still standing. But if all of a sudden they look back and the flag is gone, immediately discouragement floods the soul and the spirit. So you need someone to carry that torch to lift up that flag. But how does that occur? By growing in our faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have a part in this. It's just not the preacher. It's just not the song leader. It's just not the piano player. It's just not the missions persons or the general funds. It's not offices of the church. It's the church as a whole, as a body, that needs to carry the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ as we go forth in the battle. Paul knew he could trust Timothy. Paul knew that he could trust Timothy. You see, Timothy, he could trust Timothy because I believe he knew Timothy was not trying to look for position. I believe he trusted Timothy because he knew Timothy wouldn't come in and try to, for lack of better words, weasel his way in and push Paul out and say, now I'm the top dog on the scene. I'm here, Paul's here, and you got to listen to what I got to say. Paul had such a trust in Timothy that he knew Timothy's heart to the best that a man can know another man's heart. He could trust Timothy with the ministry that he put forth and gave to him, and that the Lord Jesus Christ gave him, to comfort and to establish the brethren, not to beat the sheep. He could trust Timothy to establish and comfort the brethren in their faith with the Lord Jesus Christ and not beat the sheep. I'm going to close with this last verse here. Look over at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 14 through 17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, I'm not going to read the first chapter 1, verse 1, but Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus are writing this letter unto those there at Thessalonica to know how they're doing. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, look what he says to him. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Remember what we read over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3? To establish, to set, to fix. Here he says the same principle again to them. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Stand fast. Hold your position. Listen, why? Because of the afflictions and the trials and the temptations that are going to happen. Stand fast. Hold your position. Don't move. Don't faint. Don't lose hope. Hold your position. Hold your position. Stand fast, he says in verse number 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Do you see this principle with me here? I'm almost done. I'm going to close with prayer. I want you to get this principle. This principle of standing fast when you get assaulted in your mind. Right now in this country, we're not, for the most part, we're not facing a physical enemy and battle. A physical persecution against the church. That's not, for the most part, occurring in this country. But I'll tell you what is occurring in this country. The assault on the minds of believers. The assaults on the minds of the believers. There's many believers that are going to try to go to bed tonight, and as soon as they lay their head on the pillow, here comes the fight. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, you said this. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did it. The fiery darts of the wicked one. That's why it's so important to put on the armor of God and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to allow God to work in your life, to strengthen you, to where though the assault is made on the mind, though the cannonballs are flying towards the wall, though the arrows are being shot, though the guns are going off, though there are explosions all around you, you stand fast on what God said he'll do for you. According to his word. He says, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Verse 17, therefore, comfort your hearts and establish you, settle you, fix you, firmly fix you, to comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So that you will be a Christian that can fight the spiritual battles that we face for others. We fight this battle, first of all, to stay faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. But we also fight these battles to try to bring deliverance to those who are in the snare of the devil. But there's a cause for and a need for good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's trying to get this principle together. And Paul's concern was for all the churches, I believe, that he wrote to, that they would be established, that they would be settled, that they would be firmly fixed upon what they have. Listen, established, set, firmly fixed upon what they have in Jesus Christ. For you to realize what all the strength, all the help, all the comfort that you have in Jesus Christ. When you can realize that, you can then get to a position to where I said, I'm going to keep saying it, to where it's not you trying to do something, it's Christ, you yielding and allowing Christ to work through you. All right? For what purpose? Number one, to bring glory, honor, and worship to God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then to go forth with the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time this evening. Lord, I pray you'd help us to get these principles. Lord, how important it is, Lord, and the struggle is real. The struggle is real in the mind and in the heart. But Lord, help us, Lord. I pray you'd help each brother and sister in Christ in here this evening, Lord, to learn, help us to grow in these spiritual principles. Lord, that we would learn to be, that you would help us to be established, that you would help us to stand firm. Lord, that we wouldn't waver so easily tomorrow as we did today because we're stronger in you. Lord, so that we can be a help and encouragement to others that are around us. That others would see that there's hope, that there's comfort, that there's peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. And Lord, I pray these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Lord, I pray that you would dismiss us with your blessings. I thank you for these precious brethren taking time to come out here this Sunday evening. Lord, I pray you protect them, keep them safe as they drive home. And Lord, watch over us through this week. Lord, help us to love you and glorify you. And if it be your will, you bring us back again safely on Wednesday night. We just thank this now. Thank you now in Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Appreciate you. Love you. And you're dismissed. Amen.